The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
We are Living by the Word Ministries, a nonprofit organization dedicated to one cause. That cause is the truth given in the Holy Bible, which we believe is the inerrant and infallible Word of God, conferred to man to live by. We let the Word of God be the final authority as to what is or is not true. We strongly feel that if we do not expose false doctrine, we only encourage it. This ministry is designed to challenge you from an apologetic point of view. 1 Peter 3:15 instructs us to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. This is Michael Tinsley. Please stay tuned while we arm you, the believer, to keep living by the Word. It's the noble thing to do.
Yes, 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 indeed. It is a noble thing to do to keep living by the Word. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Living by the Word Ministries presentation of the Bible Information Brokers. My name is Daryl Easy D. Fulton. I'm one of the teammates. And if you're in California, we're dealing with some flash floods and it's all kind of chaos out there. So I just ask that you be safe and sound. We're trying to get in contact with our other teammates momentarily. We will be having the show go on. But right now, I'm going to ask that you can participate in the broadcast. I'm going to pray us in. And I'm going to give you information on how you can participate. So let me start off with a word of prayer, and then we get right into the broadcast and deal with the issues that we have at hand. Our precious Lord, I thank you and I praise you for the opportunity, just for life, just even driving here in inclement weather, especially in a sunny California. We're not used to this, and it can be very challenging sometimes for those that are not used to this weather. Lord, you know my history from the South, and we've been through flash floods, hurricanes, and things like that. So it's a little different for me mentally, Lord. I thank you for the privilege to come in and to do your kingdom business. I just ask and pray that everyone that is under the sound of my voice, or those that may even hear futuristically on our archive show, might take what we do here very seriously, might consider what you say. And thus, that's why we have this Bible Info Broker program. Lord, you gave us the privilege to work in your kingdom, and we thank you for it, so that we might be able to glorify you in this particular way, in this particular format. And also, Lord, at the same time, that we might be able to grow in our most holy faith, being believers, and to get edified so that we might be able to share what you say about the various subjects that come at hand, and that we might run to you with the questions so that you, by your Spirit, may give us the answer. And Lord, by the same Spirit, I just ask and pray that you would work on every single person that is live under the sound of my voice, that they may take an active role in this broadcast, take an active role in what we're doing here, whether they call in, Lord, whether they participate by praying for us even now, Father God, as the broadcast goes, that we may have a seamless broadcast to your glory, to your honor, and for our edification. And for this, I pray in Jesus' matchless and precious name. Amen. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're trying to get things together here because we do have some issues with the contacting the teammates and everything. So what I'm going to do is, if Professor is out there listening in, if he can call in, because we're trying to contact him. And Eric, we know that we talked about not challenging the weather and kind of obeying the I'm looking at even things on my side here, and I was looking at people getting caught up in storms and things like that. I just happen to live a little closer to where we come in live, and it was a whole lot safer for me to come in and for our dear teammates. And so I appreciate the fact that we can do that. But right now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to give you an opportunity to join in on a broadcast, and we will just roll with it as we are going to roll. And that number you can call right now, call the number of 888-995-5552. Numerically, again, that's 888-995-5552. And I'm going to say, if you like it simpler, since my nickname is Easy, if you like it simpler, it's 888-995-KKLA. And you can start dialing in now. I have a lot of things that are on my mind, and I love to have the other teammates participate in when they get an opportunity to join us about just life and what's happening. So if you want to join us by calling in, go ahead and do so now, 888-995-5552. And if you want to join us by way of social media, we have some various ways we can do that. You can, if you're on Facebook, if you're on Truth Social, if you're on Twitter or X, if you're even on Messenger, you can send us a question by those methods. And the same address we're going to use is Bible Info Brokers. That's Bible Info Brokers for you to be able to call in. To be able to send us your question by way of social media. If you're so inclined and you want to send us a question by way of email, then feel free to do that as well. Email is livebyword@aol.com. That's livebyword@aol.com if you want to send us a question by way of email. And so as we're getting ready to get into the broadcast, what I'll do is this. If Professor is available and he calls in, we'll deal with those questions and answers, and I don't even pretend to be on the level of answering all your biblical questions like the professor does, because that's his gift. He's spent countless years in studying the Word of God to be able to answer those various questions the way that we've been doing for the last 25 years in this format. But I am going to bring up some subject matters that we can get into, and if you want to call in and talk about those subject matters, or if you have something that you want to talk about as far as what the Bible says about whatever is going on in your life, then feel free to, again, to call us at 888-995-5552 or those Bible Info Brokers social media platforms are Facebook, Messenger, Twitter, and also Truth Social. I'm setting those things up to receive your questions that way as well. If you're going to send us an email question, again, that's livebyword@aol.com. Livebyword@aol.com. Well, we're still going to be trying to bring the professor on, so Ozzie's be working on that, and we'll try to get him on as soon as we can. Just keep him in your prayers, keep Eric in your prayers about the traveling that we do sometimes. And, you know, life happens, and you're used to this ministry that we've been through some things in life, and we share those things with you. And I wanted to bring up the message that I wanted the professor to be on before I bring up the information I want to give to you about what's happening with him and his family and those type of situations. So I'm praying that he will be able to come on and join us on the broadcast. But until then, let's get into some things here. And I want to bring up sort of a question to you, listening audience, and maybe I'll flip it on you guys, but we can go back and forth, have a little spiritual banter, not negatively speaking, but positively speaking about some of the things that's going on in life. So here's some of the things I'm going to bring to the table as I'm looking on here. I can't write well as I used to, so I try to text myself these things so I can read them pretty succinctly when we get on the air. So here's some questions I have actually had in regards to what's going on in our life, in regards to the Bible, in regards to how we do life. This being the fourth day of the February in the United States, we celebrate a Black History Month. And I was actually just dealing with this issue with some folks and talking with it for years. I've been asking myself the question, and it's sort of like kind of tongue-in-cheek question about it with Black History Month. It's interesting that it's the shortest month that we celebrate Black history, but I was just thinking about the whole idea of the Black experience and how in the United States we, even in my lifetime, we've been my particular ethnicity, even though I'm human like we all are, it's that one race, the human race, but the different ethnicities that we live our experience in. From what I can remember, I remember being called a Negro. And it's interesting, that word Negro, I was trying to get some Negro spirituals, old Negro spirituals. I remember I used to hear from my grandmother back in the day. She used to play some of these older songs that was very, sort of like bringing back childhood memories. And I said to Alexa, Siri, Google, for them to play old Negro spirituals. And when they said they was trying to go to the station or the bring the music up, they had the little stars as though I was saying the N-word. I'm assuming that's what it was, or they wouldn't. They would say, we can't find the station. I'm going, they didn't say the word Negro. Is the word Negro so offensive now that we can't even use that word these days? Those are the type of things that's been on my mind because I went from Negro, remember being colored, remember being black, you know, black and I'm proud back in the days of Jane Brown and stuff like that. And one of my favorite secular artists. And then we deal with the African-American. Now, so whatever you relate to as far as being a person, whatever you've been through as far as being that person of African descent or black, colored, Negro, whatever you want to call yourself, in dealing with the idea of this identity by way of ethnicity, we say color, but, you know, I think that if I'm not mistaken, there's like four ethnicities, maybe some people even say up to seven, but I only know of four of being Negroid, Caucasoid, Mongoloid, and Aucasoid, which is, I think, from Australian, the continent. And that, you know, I'm just going to say it to you folks like this. That is how we are as a people and as a human race. We have the different ethnicities and the different cultures that we were raised in, but we're still human beings. And this, the interesting part of being the human being is that we're going to identify ourselves as human beings and understand ourselves as human beings from maybe a scientific standpoint, which you're going to run into a whole lot of trouble when you get into that, as far as I'm concerned, on how we deal with each other and how we even determine it by science. How do we deal with the emotions, the heart, the soul of man? I'm sort of talking it out as I wrote down here some of the notes I wanted to bring up to the professor and introduce to you guys, a listening audience. So I can, you know, I can go on for hours and talking about the things that are on my mind, but I'm going to invite you as we go on until such time we get the professor on, as we're still trying to call him up, to, you know, just put it out there to you. In your experience, in your dealing with life, even today, and whether you, if you're different ages, you're going to have different experiences. Seem like a generation, we try to say, when you know, you generations are spread out. Like used to be, you know, 20 something years, but now because people are having babies so young, that it seemed like the things that I experienced, and I have an older brother, is only like 5 to 6 years older than I am. They experienced, or he experienced, quite different things than I did. So it seemed like you could almost break up generations to 5 to 10 year intervals about what you may have experienced. But I'm just asking the people out there who purport and confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior about how are you identifying. If you're going to identify by a what we call a race, but what is really ethnicity, I'm just wondering. And we talked last week about how the Lord is dealing with each and every one of us and how the subject matter about the Lord giving you the desires of your heart, some things that you may be thinking about, have been dealing with all of your life, and then you have these things you want to do on this world or in this world while we're here and while you're in Christ. I wonder what is your purpose for being here as a part of the human race. You've been around all these years, whatever years it is, and have you considered what is your purpose and what is on your mind and what is in your heart to do in this world? Do you have a purpose? Yeah, well, of course, everyone does. But what specifically is yours as you're listening to my voice now? And there's another way we suggested that the desires of your heart can come is that the Lord will give it to you. And it's almost like if, well, I know for me in particular, I lean towards the way that I would want the Lord to give me the desire of my heart, which is like putting it in, placing it in, birthing in you, giving you like an unction to do something. And I tell you, the way my life is going, I was talking to a dear friend, I won't get into the name, and he kept mentioning his age. And he's younger than me, so I'm almost 70, but he was younger than me, and he kept mentioning his age about what he's doing now at the age younger than 70, I should say, and how the Lord is dealing with him in the various ways over all of his life and the various things he did, and had the privilege of talking about life with him. And we were just dealing with the idea about the same thing I'm talking about. What are the desires of your heart, a.k.a. What you want to happen in your life, what you propose to do, what you have an inclination towards, a propensity towards. And then I was getting into what I just said to you about the Lord putting on you the desire of your heart. So I'm going to take this opportunity until such time the professor calls in and use this platform right now to just to share with you how the Lord put something on my heart that is going to deal with the world he's got me in. And because my big idea, and if I can just go back a little bit, and I'll give you a little bit of history because I'm the expert of myself. Just like you are the expert of yourself, you live with you 24/7. You are the expert of yourself. And so by being the expert of who you are, you should kind of know yourself. If you're dealing with yourself 24/7 like I have to do with myself 24/7, it's kind of hard to dismiss who I am. And so as life has brought itself to me, I'll just simply say this to you, and I'll try not to get so deep, but I'll not necessarily to keep it light, but at the same time to keep it, fairly in the middle, whereby it's at least from my standpoint is what, when I came into the Lord back in the, I think it was in like mid-70s, I saw something in the world that I was living in that people don't deal with. And one of the things that people don't deal with well is conflict resolution, and I'll say it that way. We, as human beings, have a propensity to ignore some things. And it's interesting that in the Word of God, he's given us a very simple procedure. And please take an opportunity to call in if you want to talk about this segment of the broadcast until such time the professor calls in and we get a hold to him, and just, you know, still praying that everything is okay with him. And again, I know Eric, I just talked with Eric a while ago, and he's okay. I just ask him not to come in because of the inclement weather. We don't need to have any more drama in our ministry. We already got one guy, got me joyfully jealous of his homegoing Brian some years ago. And, you know, just trying to be safe. Not, it's not enough to do with the faith aspect of it. It has something to do with using some wisdom in driving in this type of weather, especially coming up and over hills and the valleys whereby the water has a tendency of kind of flooding up. And so you would use a similar wisdom. But now getting back to this whole idea about conflict resolution in your life, did you know that the Bible has sort of an ABC way to handle any conflict, anything that you may be going through with anybody? And what I find very interesting to me when I read this, and as if you want to turn to 1 Corinthians, I believe it's chapter 5. I remember the story pretty well, and I'm going to make sure the address is right. But if you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, I'm going to read something to you. And I'm not talking about your church. All right, because I don't know what people are going through in your church, but this was a church in Corinth, and it was dealing with some issues that was reported, and then the Apostle Paul had to do some conflict resolving, and he wasn't even there. But let me kind of read to you and set this whole thing up here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, I'm just going to read from verse 1. I'll be reading from, I like the English Standard Version. And again, we're going to deal with the subject matter right now of conflict resolution. So if you're dealing with some things in your life, we had a subject matter that came up last week that we were going to deal with. So I'm definitely not going to deal with it without the professor's input, because we were sad that we ran out of time to be able to talk about this subject. And it was dealing with infidelity in relationships, and how can you trust someone if we're supposed to bear our confess our sins one to another and deal with that? Is it wise to bring this up whereby the idea of the infidelity can get exposed or maybe not even have a good chance of being exposed should you bring it up to the one who was the innocent party in the relationship, and thus not only possibly destroy the relationship, but families and children and everything else involved. And we're going to deal with that subject when we have our full complement of the team. And I think that was Ted's question from last week, and we will deal with that when we do have the full team here. But right now I'm going to get back to the subject matter of conflict resolution. And the reason why it's so near and dear to me is because that's one of the things I've seen all my life, how people deal with each other, and then they don't in regard to having a problem with someone. So let me just give you the ABC of it without reading the scripture just now, and then we can get into what the scripture says about it. The ABC is that if you do something to, say, offend me, or if I do something to offend you, how do I know? Let me just do it that way. I offended you. You're the listening audience in some kind of way. Easy D offended you. How can you deal with that, even from the standpoint of me on the air? We don't know each other personally, but something I said may have offended you. Should you call 15 or 20 other people and say, did you hear what that man said on the radio, blah, 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 blah? And then deal with it from that perspective. If you were offended by something, even for me, who we don't even know each other personally, how should you deal with that? We're both claiming to be, let's just say we're both claiming to be brothers and sisters in Christ. How would you deal with that situation that I offended you by something I said on the radio? Well, this is a live public situation, and the idea is that what I said offended you, but maybe it didn't offend anybody else. Maybe it just offended you by the number, or maybe it offended many people. Well, what do you think you should do? How do you think that should be handled? Well, I'm going to give you the ABCs of it, and then you can go back in your mind and ask yourself the question, did you deal with the offense on anybody that offended you in this way? You should just simply try to reach out and talk to that person. Reach out however you can. Use the best means necessary whereby it can be a one-on-one type interchange, whereby somehow you can send a email, call into the show and say, is there any kind of way I can communicate with Easy in regards to something that he said? And you don't even have to tell the person you were offended that you're talking to get the information. You can send in a note, mail it to our post box office number. So many different ways that you can get things handled by trying to keep it on a one-to-one basis when you were offended by someone. And I'm just throwing me in there so you don't have to think about anybody else right now. I offended you. And how do you want to deal with that? Well, try to reach out to me, contact me, whatever means you can, so that we can discuss the matter one-on-one. Now, does that sound like a big deal to do so? Well, it may be for you because you may not be used to dealing with conflict resolution that way as opposed to the ways that you were either taught or raised to do. But I'm suggesting to you that is how simple the Bible starts off, that if you are offended by someone, then you should go to that person and deal with the offense. And right now I'm just basically talking to adults. As far as adult to adult, when you have children and adults and adults to children and things like that, children to children, there's a certain responsibility there that the parents should take, the adult in the room, as it were, in that child's life should take. So I'm not going from that angle. I'm going from the angle of adults. And so when you come to me and we have a discussion now. So you got the opportunity to reach out to me. I got back with you, and you gave it to me. You told me exactly that what I said offended you. And so my response is important on how I deal with that. I mean, I'm not saying how I'm going to deal with each and every situation the same way, because every offense will maybe be different. Number one is I would say that in this kind of situation that I didn't know you. I don't know. My intent was not to offend you in particular, but anyone in general, unless it was my intent to offend. And if it was, then here's how simple that should be. You have come to me, you have pointed out an offense that I committed to you and maybe to people in general, and I just didn't get it. And you brought it to me, and guess what? you caught my attention. I said, you know, wow, I didn't think about it from that perspective. It wasn't my intent to offend. But now as you break it down to me, and out of the thousands or whatever amount of people can hear us on by way of these social media and the air and everything like that, I didn't get it. My team didn't come to me about it, nothing like that. You, the one person that's out there in the listening audience land, were offended. And then we come to find out that by you approaching me the way that the Bible tells you to go to that person one-on-one, and you did that, you have won me. You've won your brother. You've got me straight in regards to that offense. Then I can, without delay, apologize to you, sincerely ask for your forgiveness, recognizing that that was not my intent, but for whatever reason I offended people or offended you in particular. And that's all it takes, is just one person to be offended. That has to be dealt with, because, it's, again, whether it's your intent, well, not whether it's your intent or not, it wasn't my intent to offend in this particular case, just making up this scenario. But you did the right thing by not blabbing your mouth to 15,000 other people, even though 15,000 other people may have heard it by way of air, but they may not have been offended, but you were. And you are just as important as anybody else, and you reached out to try to contact me, and you were successful, and we solved that issue. Then I am able to come back on the air, even though we worked it out, and say, if there's a possibility that I offended anybody else, this person did a biblical response to an offense by reaching out to the individual, me, and telling me I offended them. And thus it was taken care of in the report. Now, that'd be great if everybody did that, right? Mm-hmm. Right? Well, I can almost see you out there in radio land or internet land or cyberspace, whatever you call it, kind of shaking your head agreeing, but I don't really know if you're agreeing because it makes sense, or you're agreeing because the Bible says it, or you're agreeing because that's the way you were taught to do it. I trust that whatever way it is, that that's the way it gets handled. If any of you were offended out there by anybody in your life, and that person is still alive, you're still alive, obviously, then you should go to that person and try to work it out. Now, I said 1 Corinthians 5, but that particular admonition or that particular instruction is in Matthew 18 in regards to someone offending you, dealing with brothers and sisters in particular. But even in the world handles it similarly, so that everything doesn't go to the next level. But now, let me take it to the next level. Yeah, we're still trying to, you know, we're still trying to get Professor, and I apologize. I just, you know, keep him in your prayers. I don't know what's going on, but we have to roll with it. It's live. This is live radio. We don't have time to, you know, mourn the situation in regards to what we're going to do on this broadcast. But if you're interested in this subject matter, if you're interested in this subject matter, please call me. I'm interested not necessarily specifically on what you're going through, because you're going to find out that it doesn't, you don't go to the next level until the first level didn't work. So the level I just gave you, that I offended someone even on the air, like in this open space, this ether of internet, this ether of radio, and you're talking to the public from this perspective, I don't think the rules change. I'm pretty confident that that would be the wisest way to handle it, and then it gets handled. And then it can go to the next level as far as me coming back and making a general apology to anyone else out there that may have been offended. And look with the joy of following the simple scripture of the A side of conflict resolution by going to the person who offended you. Take the opportunity to reach out to anyone who has done you wrong, and then try to work that out with that person. And let me give you a B-side of that. The B-side is like, you know, a lot of you younger folks don't know that we used to have these albums, these albums, whether they're 45s or 33 and a third, bigger albums where they had an A and a B-side. Well, the B-side to that same situation, that person was offended, then we talked to them, then we come to find out that their offense was dealing with something that they were sensitive to, But when we talked it out between each other, the reality of the matter is that the person wasn't offended. And we talked it out. And they said, you know what, Easy, I took offense to that, but that was something I haven't dealt with somebody else. So I'm almost like transferring the anger or whatever it is I have for some unresolved issue on you. And by you saying it, it kind of triggered my situation, and, you know, the psychological word trigger that we have these days. And then you offended me. But after you talking with you, I wasn't actually offended by you. It's some unresolved issue I have. And that could be the side of that. So what do you do there? Is it you come back on the air and say all that? Well, no, it's not necessary, because me and this person worked it out between us. It's still solved right there. Now, of course, the admonition would be to that person is to try to go work it out with the person that they have the unresolved issue with. And then by doing so, we're trying to keep, it's like God gave us very simple instructions. Go to the person. If you win your brother right there, you win your sister, it's a done deal. Nobody else has to even know about it. But if you don't, then the Bible suggests to you to do something. And I'm going to tell you what that is after I take a momentary break here and give you some information about this ministry and how you can, you know, join in and participate. Not only tonight, because if you don't, I'm going to talk the whole time away until such time we get the professor on where we can answer your questions. But if you want to comment or talk about a situation of what you may have been through or what you're dealing with as far as unresolved issue, we can dive into it that way as well. And that number is 888-995-5552. 888-995-5552 is the number where you can call me right now, Easy D, and we can talk about that subject matter. If you have something else you want to talk about, then feel free. We can talk. I'm not trying to answer your 15 or 50 cent theological, deep philosophical question. That's not my role. That's not my role. I know some things, been around some time, but I'm not even trying to front. That's why we have a guy like the professor. And when if he calls in, we can deal with those questions that way. But right now, I'm just kind of focused on that one issue for right now. And then I've got some other issues I want to deal with. And we'll be talking about those momentarily. So if you're interested in calling, 888-995-5552. You have some unresolved issues with someone, let's talk about how it can be handled biblically. And I'm going to give you some stories about somebody that did something very offensive, even in the church, and how they had to deal with that. But in Matthew 18, they talk about how to deal with someone offending you, a brother offending you. And even in Matthew 5, I believe, somewhere, matter of fact, somebody find a scripture and look it up, and you do a little work while we're on the air. And in Matthew chapter 5, it implies that if you even worship before God, leave your, and you say you're giving and offering time, or you're just worshiping the Lord, leave your gift at the altar. It's implying that if you have been an offense to someone else that you know of, leave your gift at the altar and go make that situation right. The implication is God wants us to deal with it in a very, I'll call it simple, because it is sort of ABC. Is don't run your mouth. If someone offends you, go to that person. You know you offended someone, and you at church worshiping the Lord, leave that gift at the altar and go make those things up. Work that out with the person. And here's what I want to work out with you all that's listening to this broadcast, and you've been listening to us for days or weeks, months, years, what have you. I want to give you an opportunity to participate in how we can stay on and come into your ears weekly, and then also have availability for various resources on our website. And we're going to ask that you take advantage of that by checking out the various things that we do have on the BibleInfoBrokers.com website. We're developing getting more things on there. You see, when you go right to the website, you will see the virtual Bible study, as it were, is one thing that's available. You can take the information down, contact our good brother Sal, and join a Bible study if you're not in a Bible study yourself. Or if you want to join another one, you want to see what Sal and those guys are doing in the Bible study, then take it. Opportunity to go to our website, Bible Info Brokers, and contact Sal. And he'll give you the information on how you can join them, like a Zoom link, and all the information that would be made available to you. But take an opportunity to do that. And also, while you're on our website, take an opportunity just to navigate around. And I'm like this. And ministry is not so much that we have all the answers. It's just so much that we're giving what we do have. And if you have suggestions, if you have thoughts, if you have constructive criticism, we want to critique certain things, we take all that. We're not, trust me, we're not sensitive to anybody want to suggest some things to us. Take an opportunity while you're on the website to send us an email on that particular method. You want to send us a note, I'll give you the address in a moment. And you can communicate with us by those methods as well. We're going to try to get on that level where we can do text messages be much faster, and you know the speed that people are used to communicating with each other now is much faster than it was back in the day, for sure. So as we develop in the various ministries and the various means of communicating back and forth with you, our listening team, then that'll be great to do. But right now, take an opportunity to go to Bible Info Brokers. If you're so inclined, you have access to internet, and you can check out the various resources. Just kind of navigate and click the various icons to the left, and then it'll take you to the various pages where you can just check out and see what's available, like articles, archive shows, and things like that. We're really, really, really trying to get this thing so systematic that when we do one show, it shoots out to all the other platforms instantaneously, and I'm learning more and more about that in this fantastic way to communicate what you're talking about on the air. So while I'm here on this website at Bible Info Brokers, they have an icon that I'm going to click right now, and it says support and donate. Well, when you support and donate to any ministry, the ministry still kind of let you know what you're supporting and donating to. Well, you obviously hear us on the air, and so that's one of the major expenses that we have in regards to this particular ministry, Bible Information Brokers, even though it's under Living by the Word Ministries banner or EIN number. That's why you are able to deduct your donations tax-wise and get a tax break. I'm a strong believer. If you know I don't like fees, if you don't know, I'm going to tell you about it in a moment. I certainly believe that you should do everything you can with being a believer with the money that the Lord has put in your control, the treasure, as we say, the time, the three T's, time, talent, and treasure. Well, we're talking about the treasure right now. Take the time to take care of the treasure that God has you a steward over. It's actually not your money. Yeah, it's in your control. But you have to give an answer to the Lord about what you do with what he put in your care. So in essence, to be a good steward of what you have, here's an opportunity for you to consider our ministry. But I want you to only consider our ministry as far as actually giving only after you're supporting the ministry, whether it's a church, fellowship, home fellowship, what have you, where you are growing in your most holy faith. You're exercising your spiritual gifts there. You have a fellowship, rather, again, like I said, church, Bible study, what have you. Whatever you're getting and growing in your most holy faith, you should be supporting that particular situation, because I'm sure it takes money to do anything these days. So the treasure, the money, the funds that you have, do not take air penny. That's, I'm coming from the South now. Don't take a copper penny from that ministry and send it to us. Please don't. I know that may be antithetical to what a lot of people do and say, if you bless this ministry, sow seed in Bible Information Brokers, then you're guaranteed this. No, we're not doing all that. We're not rolling like that. I'm telling you now, do not send money here in spite of donating, supporting where you are, the church, fellowship, Bible study, whatever it is that you're growing and spending your time in, seeing people eyeball to eyeball, as it were, or however it is, even if it's by Zoom, whatever your main place is that you fellowship, what people you being responsible to those people, or people being responsible to you, take care of that ministry, please. Thank you. End of report as far as that. Now, if you got some change left, you got some money left, if you already generously supported your ministry, then by all means, consider Bible Information Brokers. And on our website, you can go there, click support and donate, follow the instructions on that, and give by way of internet, using credit card, PayPal, what have you, follow the instructions there. I'm going to tell you the designated places that you can do so. So everything I'm talking about, you can designate by informing us how you want the money to be utilize, even in this ministry. We don't have a brick and mortar at this present time to pay for a building plan, or any future or anything, housing units, anything like that, which is all good, well and good. It's very helpful in various ministries. But we don't have those at the Bible Information Brokers with Living by the Word. We have what we tell you we have, and that's how you can donate. So BibleInfoBrokers.com, click the support and donate button, and then you'll be able to give accordingly. If you want to mail anything to this ministry, comments, complaints, words of encouragement, what have you, support by way of financially, like we're talking now, everything, anything that you're going to send into the post box office number, it must have at least one thing on the envelope. It must say LBTW or Living by the Word. It must say that on the envelope, Living by the Word or LBTW. And that address is P.O. Box 90477 in Los Angeles, 90477 in Los Angeles, 90009. Once again, the envelope must say LBTW or spell it out, Living by the Word. And the P.O. Box is 90477 in Los Angeles, 90009. So much appreciate that. It has to be that way, and this is going to cause some conflict, and mail takes a long time to get to us if it's not addressed properly. If you're so inclined and you want to give my preferred method, my preferred suggestion in giving, and if you can give the other ministries the same way, my suggestion there also, whereby there's no fees associated with taking away from your donation, you can give by Zelle, fast, simple. Those that have access to the internet and you have online banking, if you don't know about it, you can call your bank tomorrow and ask them how you can set up an account to be able to send by Zelle. So there will be no fees, no stamps associated. You don't have to write any envelopes out. Zelle, Z-E-L-L-E, is the preferred method from EZD. So Zelle, and that address that you use is the same address you use to send us an email. Trying to make it seamless, and that's livebyword@AOL.com. livebyword@AOL.com for the Zelle donation. And what are you giving to? Well, you're giving to the general funds here, the general funds of just the whole ministry. We talked about the website. We talked about paying the bill for the radio and internet and whatever things associated with getting this broadcast out. That's one designation. So that's sort of a general. We don't have the big building yet. I would love to have a building, and I'm going to just tell you the two words. I would call it the Sinless Hotel, and it would be designed for those that are shacking up, that they can stop shacking and go to a hotel as they transition to get their life together. Now, that's just a side thing. That's something the Lord has been dealing with me for a long time. May or may not be part of Bible Information Brokers, but it's certainly been in my mind and my heart for some years. So now, getting back to the designation, general, also our faithful friend fund, which is, we call it FFF, which is basically our dear brother Brian that went on to be with the Lord some years ago, a couple of years ago, joyfully jealous as I am. We want to support his widow. Dear Ari helps us out still in the ministry, trying to pick up some of the things that Brian did for us, and we don't want to inundate her with life. She has her life and tough enough to deal with the loss of a spouse and all the things she has to deal with. But we count it a privilege. We count it a duty. We count it an obligation, but a joyful, loving privilege to be able to support her by paying the premium on her medical monthly. And so we thank you for that. And you can just simply put in your designation, triple F. FFF. I thank you, thank you, thank you in advance for that. And finally, TOT. And TOT is a training of trainers. And basically, that's a ministry, and it's sort of like a combination ministry. The particular one, TOT, is for what Professor does. Professor goes into countries on the other side of the world, Nepal, India, various things with Cambodia and things like that, even though it's sort of a offshoot of TOT, but it's what the professor is involved with. I almost want to change the name to call it PCH's ministries, the various things he do. because they definitely need to be supported, because the people that are being trained, and say Nepal, for example, I have a lot of Nepali friends that I know personally and actually play golf with and things like that. We're out there in the world that they came from, and trying to teach them or teach those that can get to the people that Craig and his group can never get to. You just imagine being Craig is a Caucasian guy. We already talked about that. African-American, colored, Negro, whatever it is, that being Black History Month, I'm saying them all, guy. And Craig's out there trying to go into the tribes in the various country, the various provinces or states. And Nepal, no, it's not. That's not going to work that way very well for them. So what they do is they train people who look just like the folks out there to be able to do ministry. And they pay for all the various resources they need, house them, feed them, and things like that, because from the long story short, it's against the law to proselytize and talk about Christ, to deal with that, and you can get in some trouble. Now, what laws exactly they are, I may look them up one day because I'm into that kind of stuff, but that's where your money goes, to support that cause. And all I'm going to say is this, that God knows your heart and why you would give. You're responsible for what you have and where you give it and how you give it. And you need to know that this is where we're going to do with the money. And so there you have it. Support if you can, and we appreciate that. And it's the same way. Zelle, livebyword@aol.com. Anything you're going to mail to us at all, the envelope must say LBTW, P.O. Box 90477. And whatever check, money order, what have you, can also say live by word on it as well. And then you can designate. And then we'll take care of those. And we thank you 100% in advance. So we appreciate that. All right, ladies and gentlemen, here's what we're going to do. I gave the information. We're actually still trying to get the professor, so I just don't know what happened. Listen, our ministry had been through some things before. You remember the time when Craig came back from Nepal. One time we were actually doing the whole show in the last 10 minutes of the show, where he got a text call, the last 15 minutes or so of the show, got a text call that he had to get home. He lives in the Corona area, and long story short on that, that's when his son, both his sons were involved in an accident. One son was murdered, killed, and two of his friends were killed, and the other three boys were injured very badly. And so our ministry is used to kind of dealing with these things in life. They're no fun to deal with, but we accept what comes our way and trust in the Lord that all things are going to work together for good for those that love him and are called according to his purpose, of which we think we are. So, going back to conflict resolution, if you want to call in, I see you there, my brother Bobby. I'm going to get to you, bring you on in a second. We got about 5 minutes left in there, so I'm going to bring Bobby up in a second, and we can go on to the other side and continue the conversation if we need to. But we're dealing with conflict resolution as a subject matter, at least one subject matter. 888-995-5552 is the number you can call if you want to join in, if you got something you want to share and deal with as far as conflict resolution is concerned as a subject or any other subject we might be able to bring up. I'm not trying to answer all your heavy theological questions. That's not the way I roll. That's not my giftedness. So take an opportunity to call in, 888-995-5552. And I'll check the emails and see if you want to send an email question, livebyword@aol.com. This is the email address. Or you can go to the social media, whether it's Facebook, Truth Social, Twitter, or even Messenger. Bible Info Brokers is the address, and send a question in that way. So what I'll do right now, Oz, is we're still trying to get a professor, and you know maybe we get him on the second half of the show. But I'm going to bring up my dear buddy, Mr. Retired Man Bobby from Carson.
Good evening to you, EVD. How are you?
Man, I haven't heard from you for almost many, many, many hours.
Sorry, man.
How you doing, brother?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much. Thank you. I was listening intently to your topic and your subject. And I have a statement and then a contribution to the topic.
Okay.
First of all, the statement is, you know, it's It's the start of February, and last month was the month that we all made, or many of us made, resolutions to do in our culture. You know, New Year's resolutions.
Right.
And, you know, whether you're trying to lose weight or stop smoking, or you're trying to spend more time with your family, or whatever your resolution is, and many of them are great and some are questionable. My resolution, as I had called, because I'm a longtime listener and participant of the show, by calling in and asking questions, was that I challenge everybody that's listening to my voice tonight to contribute four times. That's four in 24.
Mm.
Four times in 24 of what you contributed last year to Living by the Word Ministries and the Bible Information Brokers. And you can do this. It's not a difficulty. It may be, you know, a couple less Starbucks coffees. It may be, you know, one last trip to the Corral buffet, you know, and whatever, since you're trying to lose weight anyway, right? And so, you know, you can do this, and it's possible. And then this leads into my contribution to this. A lot of times, conflicts that need resolution, you know, if you're going to do conflict resolution, oftentimes the conflicts are over money and deal with relationships, husbands and wives, boyfriends and girlfriends, you know, parents and children, where finances come to play. And when I taught, I'm a financial advisor, but I'm also a retired teacher.
Woo-hoo!
I taught 9th, 10th grade life skills. And one of the life skills I taught the kids was you need to create a budget.
Mm.
You need to have a budget in mind. And I don't care if you make $100 a week or $50 a week or $1,000 a week. It doesn't matter. You need to create a budget. And that budget is going to entail looking at what your income is and what your expenditures are. In other words, how you're spending the money you're making. If you're spending more money than you're making, then you're in trouble. That's what the United States government and so the idea here is, if you've got a conflict within your relationship because you just can't seem to pay the bills, you're not making enough money, somebody is accusing somebody of not working hard enough or doesn't have a good enough job, well, you know, prayer and the love of the Lord come to play in this area, because now, you know, I really need to understand my finances. I need to get a hold of them. I need to manage them better. And so you sit down, and part of that is creating this budget and figuring out where your finances are and what you need to do. And as you create that budget and you make the list of all the things that you have to give to pay the light, pay the gas, pay the car payment, whatever it is, mixed into that should be that I'm giving to the Lord. I'm giving to my church. I'm giving to the radio station that I listen to every Sunday that brings me joy and peace in my heart and a better understanding of the Bible and all the things that it entails. And you'll find yourself, if you create this budget and you figure out where you are, you're going to be able to manage it a lot better, because then you can say, you know what, I'm things are really tight. Well, where do you cut back on in your budget? Maybe some entertainment money, going out to the movies, going to Disneyland, going to, you know, a skating park or whatever it is that charges money for you to do that, or going out to dinner. Clearly, it's obvious that going out to eat is much more expensive than staying at home. But then even staying at home and eating, well, if you're eating steak and lobster and shrimp, you know, four nights a week, guess what? You better have a lot of money to pay for that. You might discover in creating this budget that what you really should be eating is healthy salads and, you know, and simple vegetables that allow you to make your meal go further, making chilies and soups, making food that can cover, you know, your dinner one night and your lunch 2 days later.
Now, Bobby, so let me say this, because we're going to come to a top of our break. I'm going to put you on hold because I want to finish up this conversation before we continue with the other thing. So I'm going to put you on hold now because we have about 30 seconds left, and I got to go into the top of our break. So just hold on there, and we'll get you back on the other side. Ladies and gentlemen, what Bobby is saying, man, is so true. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that on the other side of the break. We got some good news for you, but in that good news I have for you, I'm going to have to tell you about a little bad news as well. And so we'll do that after we finish the conversation with Bobby. But right now you can hear the music in the background. You listen to Living by the Word Ministries, presentation of the Bible Information Brokers. My name is Darrell Izzy D. Fulton. Keep praying for Professor and keep Eric in your prayers as well. The whole team. And we'll be back after these messages with more of the Bible Information Brokers. God bless. Oh, listen to that beautiful music. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Living by the Word Ministries presentation of the Bible Information Brokers. My name is Darrell Easy, the Fulton, one of the teammates. Matter of fact, I'm the only one on duty. All the other guys are taking a big, long, extended break, and I'm going to be talking to their union rep about this break they're taking. But all jokes aside, folks, we didn't hear from the professor tonight, and I just want you guys to keep him in your prayers. We'll find out what's happening, and then we'll let you know a little later on if we can. And, you know, things can happen. It could be all kind of stuff, man. Things are going on in life. Heck, I actually was running very, very late. I missed a whole hour of life today where I didn't know what happened. I don't know if I dozed off, and I don't think I did, but it just didn't, the alarm didn't go off. And things happen with life, so we deal with them, and because we do live radio, we have to be prepared just to roll with it. And so you're listening to Bible Information Brokers. If you, we're not really dealing taking so many questions per se, but I have some things that have been on my mind and heart. I'm going to get into them. One of the biggest ones that I'm dealing with is conflict resolution. I got a dear friend of mine, been knowing for quite a few years, friend of the ministry, supporter of the ministry, and I love that four thing he's talking about. And notice that we didn't promise you anything back, just that the Lord would be pleased with how you are taking care of his money, especially if you're a believer. Even if you're an unbeliever, it's still the Lord's money. You just don't know it. And so the reality of the matter is, I'm going to be bringing Bobby back on momentarily, but I want to give you an opportunity if you want to call in and get in the queue, and maybe you have something on your mind, maybe stemming off from the conflict resolution, at least one subject I brought up. I have some other ones I'm going to bring up if we have time, but at least from that standpoint, it's a pretty big one in the church. It's a pretty big one in people's lives. It actually, you know, it actually probably stems from a lot of these shows that we have on TV that deals with the gossip and stuff like that. It stems from people not dealing with resolutions and conflicts. And if you're watching any of those things on TV, or if you hear about things in life, people don't deal with conflict resolution very well. And that's, if I can talk about something for the rest of my life and only one subject, that would be probably one of the top ones I would want to talk about other than Jesus Christ and him and crucified and things like that, which we're going to get into in a moment. But conflict resolution is so, so key to life. But let me bring my dear friend Bobby up to finish this conversation, at least with Bob, and then we can move forward. My dear buddy, Mr. Bond,
yeah.
007.
By the way, you missed that hour. I know what it is. It's no football Sunday withdrawals.
So you know what? That's you. That's you and Craig. You football lovers. Your wife, my wife, and all you football lovers. I'm a basketball man. I'm a tennis man. And don't get me started on golf, because I'll be away all next week. Matter of fact, this whole month. But I'm gonna talk about that. Matter of fact, I'm gonna lead into that, Bobby, because that's one of the things that the God put on my heart. And you and I talked about this as far as my golf ministry. And if anybody's, you know what? Let me just go ahead and share it. If anybody's inclined, I think I posted it right. If I didn't, I'm going to post something on the Bible Information Brokers Facebook page. And Bobby, you had privilege of seeing something fantastic on three videos of somebody you guys all know and love, I hope. And I'm going to put that on our Bible Info Brokers Facebook page. And I'm not going to put any commentary. I'm just going to leave it at that and let the people decide what they think. Yeah. Anyway, let's get back to what you were talking about, brother.
Aquaman. Okay.
See how you are? See that? Now I'm offended. Go ahead. All right, well, let's go ahead. Let's kind of catch up what we were talking about.
It's just this whole thing. I've known in my career I've been a financial advisor and a financial planner and a stockbroker and everything for 42 years. And in that 42 years, I can't tell you how many clients I've helped and worked with and dealt with their conflicts in their relationships that were because of finances.
Wow.
Because they didn't know how to plan or manage their finances. They had all these goals and dreams, you know, and just didn't know how to get there. And a big part of it is you know, well, do you know where all the money you make comes from? Do you know how much money you make? Okay. How about all the money you spend? You know, how are you spending this money that you're making? Do you even have any idea, or do you just spend and spend? You know, and most people, that's exactly what they do. They don't think about, well, gee, you know, we really have been going out to dinner too many times, or we, you know, we really don't need to buy those extra pair of shoes, you know. Not when you've got bills, not when you've got other dreams and goals. You know, if your goal is to retire at a certain age, you've got to make sure you're financially prepared to do that. And if you don't, it's going to create conflicts because, you know, well, now I got to retire. Well, yeah, but, you know, we need the money. Well, then you need to get a different job, or you need to get a second job, or, you know, and all of that creates conflicts. And there is no easy resolution to conflicts that are based on financial problems.
You know, Bob, I'm glad you're saying this, man, because while you were talking, I'm just curious to know, what would you think? And I don't know if these are the top ones, but I put in there on a search on this, what is it, Google, whatever it is, the top reasons for a divorce. And what, if you had to think of the top four in your mind, what are the top four reasons for divorce, separation, and things like that in a situation?
Money, infidelity, abuse. I mean, I would think those are the top three.
Wow, interesting. Well, I want to read them I think they're in order. I'm going to read them as though I think they're in order, and I have to check and see what it is. But what I'm looking at is, I'm going to go across from left to right, the way I see it on my screen, infidelity, addiction, money, lack of intimacy, commitment, domestic violence, marrying too young, poor communication, and continuous conflict.
Yeah.
But the money thing, like you're talking about, is a huge issue.
Big time.
And you know what? It's almost like, well, no, I can understand it, because one of the things I've heard in relationships and dealing with people dealing with money, well, I was raised, and I always have the question, what if you were raised wrong in dealing with money?
Yeah.
And dealing with all these other issues, but you could talk more so about the money issue, Bob. Now, Bobby, look, you and I know that I've been poking at you for years about ministry and how, like Living by the Word Ministries is just that, a place where people, individuals who may not be able to do necessarily in their church or whatever like this, but Living by the Word Ministries is the emphasis upon ministries. When I remember when I named it over 27, 8 years ago, that was the whole thing. Living by the Word is great. That's great. But the ministry's aspect of Living by the Word is meaning that the people, individuals, have what God would have you to do, like they talk about in Ephesians 2, 8, 9. Verse 10 is the verse I want to focus on. After you're saved, then what do? God has something for all of us to do. And in this particular area in life, God has, obviously, in my opinion, after talking to you for so long about these subject matters, gifted you in certain areas. One of my, another dear friend who was also a teacher, I won't give his name up because I saw him driving an Uber car, and he was, and I just happened, I almost want to say his name because he talked about my hairdo, jealously speaking, and you know him, but I won't get into it, but he's one of your fellow teachers that was doing Uber, and he was saying, not for the money, but, you know, it take care of a few bills and stuff like that. But money is a serious issue, Bobby. And is it the money or is it the mismanagement? I'm sorry. Is it the money or the mismanagement of money that is more serious?
It's both. I mean, you know, God gave us skills to work, and God gave us the means to make money. God doesn't give us the money.
Right.
You know, he gives us the skills to earn it. And that's what we need to thank him for. We shouldn't look at money as an end to the means, but rather, you know, money is the result of the gifts that God has given us to do things, whatever that might be, whether it's being a radio host, you know, on a music, you know, radio station, teacher, a lawyer, a doctor, whatever it is, you know, And so it's how to, you have to gain the intelligence of how to manage the money that you make. Because if you don't, and then you get into a relationship, you know, and, well, I make more than you. Why can't I buy what I want to buy?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I want to drive this car. Well, we really can't afford this car. Yeah, but this is what I want, and I make more money than you do.
Mm.
You know, I have seen that conflict. I have heard that conflict. And there's a number of them, and it stems from a lack of knowledge of how to manage the money that you make. You know, you can't, unless you go out and become an Uber driver as a second job.
Or third or fourth.
Absolutely. I mean, and I'm sure there are people that do that because it's so flexible as to how many, you know, what hours you're working to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But, hey, I had three jobs when I went to college just so that I could pay for college.
Wow.
You know, we do what we got to do. But you got to manage the money that you make. And if you don't have the knowledge of how to manage it, then you're going to be in trouble, you know. And if you're making good money and you're making extra money, well, then now that's when you start not managing the money as much as you're now investing the money. But the investment is sort of a, you know, left turn off of the management column,
yeah.
You know. I've got all this money, and I know how to manage because I've met my budget, and I know my goals and objectives. But one of my goals is to retire at the age of 55, or one of my goals is to be able to take cruises when I retire with my spouse, or whatever it might be. I want to buy a nicer car. You know, we want to move to a bigger, a better house, or whatever it is. You know, that requires knowledge of how to manage it, and if you're managing to the point where you have extra funds, now you can invest it. And investing the money is now the means by which, if you can take, you know, I'll just call it $10,000, and turn that into $15,000 to $20,000 in 1 year, and then maybe turn that into $20,000 to $25,000 the next year. You know, now you're headed in the right direction to achieve those goals that you have. If you don't have a lot of money, well, then maybe, you know, you need to look at your tax situation. You need to look at, you know, how you're allocating the dollars that you have. And all of these represent managing money that will then allow for a conversation that allows you to deal intelligently and peacefully with the conflict that's, you know, taking place between, you know, two people, or as I'd said, you know, husband or wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, you know, parents and child, whatever it is.
Yeah, I tell you one thing, Bob, we can talk about this subject for quite a long time. I just remember as a kid when I got the first check from like the job I was working, actually with the city of Inglewood, I believe it was, where I'm 16 years old, got a check from them, you know, working at summer school, working the CETA program. I remember getting $1.65 an hour, things like that before. I was in junior achievement, was a treasurer. I happened to be a treasurer of a company that was called Cash, where we actually took a piece of wood and took the Bill of Rights and the Constitution, and then stained the wood, and then put the Constitution and glued it on there, and sort of like a lacquer look, and then we jagged the edges, make it look like it was old. And I remember it cost us 90 cents to make, with the wood, the paper, the glue, and all that stuff. And I remember it like it was yesterday. We sold it for $4.10.
Yep.
And that's how they taught us in junior achievement. You know, to do things. So I don't know if this is what's going on these days in school, but I mean, I may have aged myself. I don't care because I love my age.
I'm laughing because when I first started in the business, I worked for junior achievement.
Oh, wow.
Going to middle schools and talking to them about economics and
then you was talking to big head kids like myself then back in the day. That would have been me, even though I'm older than you.
I went to Horace Mann Junior High.
Hey, wait a minute. Stop. Wait a minute. You went to where? Are you taught where?
Horace Mann Junior High
School. You mean my school that I attended when I came from Louisiana and went to 74th Street School, then to Horace Mann? I used to walk from 77th to 10th Avenue to Horace Mann back in the day before I went to Inglewood, not Inglewood, but Morningside High School. We moved to Inglewood. Wow, Bobby. So we kind of crossed patterns here, brother.
We did. We did.
Yeah, but those
I
were some.
I went to junior high myself at Monroe Junior High. Right,
Monroe.
Right
down right next to Morningside. Right next to Morningside where I went. But anyway, that's enough about us. Yep. Let me do this because I'm going to move forward the show. Give me some closing thoughts on this whole money thing. If you had to give people a 60-second, let me use the word, 60-second. You only had 60 seconds left in your life. And then the Lord's going to bring you home to be with Brian and all them other people I'm jealous about.
Amen.
If he's going to bring you home, you got 60 seconds, but the Lord wants you to talk about money to the masses of audience. You got 60 seconds before I'm going to cut you off and send you into the stratosphere. So you got 60 seconds to tell people about money. What do you want to tell them?
Take the time to learn how to manage your money. Create a budget for yourself. Understand what your income is. Understand what your expenses are. You have expenses that are required and expenses that are optional. When you focus on and deal with the ones that are required, then the optional ones are just what I say. They're optional, and you can do or not do them as based on how much money you have. You start managing that money, now you can look towards investing the money. Do all that in peace and love with each other. Work together. Pray to the Lord and make sure that you make gifts to the Lord in whatever way fits your needs as best as possible. Do this in prayer and love, and I bless you so much. God bless you all. Thank you.
Thank you, Bobby. God bless you, man.
God bless you. Take care. Thank you.
Appreciate you. You know what, ladies and gentlemen, if you think about the seriousness how I just did Bobby there, that if the Lord, you don't know how much time you have left, and we're still trying to actually get a hold of Professor, and I have some other folks trying to contact the Professor. And I'm saying it like this. I don't want to, you know, if you're worried out there, don't worry, because it does no good. You know, Jesus, if he said anything, he told us, you know, stop stressing, man. You know, you got this God that you say you believe in, and a God I'm going to talk to you about. You know, let me transition into giving you some very, very good news. There is a savior of your soul when you depart from this earth. Whether you believe it or not, it gets right down to the issue. And I'm not talking about easy belief system where you hear some four spiritual laws and then you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you're guaranteed salvation, period. Pastor was talking about today at Lincoln Avenue about putting feet to your faith. Now, this is not a works righteousness, so let me just clear that up. And as a matter of fact, let me just give you a scriptural reading on why we have in Christianity, as we have in not Judeo-Christianity, even though Christianity is Jewish, come from out of the Jewish context, we're engrafted in. God was God's chosen people, and that's a whole other ball game. But let me read to you Ephesians. I mean, if I don't know any other three verses that I would bank on in regards to what we're supposed to be doing in this life, here is the gospel message in three verses. But God, I was going to read more verses, but I'm just going to read three verses. Then there's a context to it. So if you read above and then below, you kind of get it. But here it is, three verses, Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Notice the chronology of you doing good stuff, you getting merit, you getting the recompense of your good works. And what is even good works anyway? The order is, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing. It is a gift of God. It's not a result of works, so that no one, not your mama, your grandmama, your precious little ones, or anyone may boast. This salvation of the soul is so super important, whether you believe it or not, as far as the importance of it. I'll give you another verse, and I may be paraphrasing if I'm going to say it this way. It's appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. Well, before this appointment happens to you and you hear my voice right now, and I'm going to say it to you this way, and you're not like my dear family member, Aunt Jeanette, 103.7 years, as my brother said, they had the memorial just the other day. Unfortunately, I couldn't go, and just, well, Ralph and I know. In heaven, Brian, in heaven, Craig's son, Daniel, murdered, in heaven. This is our belief. Can I see him? Do I know for sure? Believe that what they say they believed in and the work that followed kind of shows us. God, you're not going to trick God. God knows, because many people are going to be in the church and in that last day are going to say unto the Lord, didn't we do this in your name? Didn't we do that in your name? And God's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you were workers of iniquity. And those are people he's talking about in the church. And I'm going to read something in the Corinthians before we end about how church people can be and believe that you, because you go to church, that you're saved. No, you're not saved because you go to church. You're saved by the grace of God through faith. And your faith is going to be proven out. Everybody is going to have good works emanating from what they believe, what they said they believe in, Jesus Christ. Now, can people do good works on their own, what looks good? I had a conversation with this guy, and the conversation got kind of deep about you can't tell by looking if a person is doing good works. You can see people, you can just imagine two couples across the street with two children, and they look like, you know, they're just sitting there. You can't really see what's going on. They're in the park, and they're just sitting there. You can't tell if those two families are one of these, one that goes to church, one that's caring for their family, the children look healthy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They're holding hands and all that stuff. You can't tell if that is a Christian family, Buddhist family, what have you. And you can't even tell if the family is even a family. It may be somebody across there who just kidnapped someone, got them scared to death, and they're holding hands, but he's grasping the hands. But because of the distance you see him, you don't know if the people are doing good or not by your looking. And you can't tell by what a person is or does if they're saved. But if they say that they have accepted Jesus Christ as the only possible way to get right with God, because we were born into iniquity and sin, and we have a sin issue that must be dealt with no matter what ethnicity you are. The human race has a sin issue since Adam and Eve that has to be dealt with. And this is how God chose to deal with it, by dying on a cross in the person of Jesus Christ. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission to sin. There is no forgiveness. That's how he chose to do it. Why he chose to do it that way? Then you have to just figure that out. I'm not going to get into the why. All I'm telling you is that by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing, because Christ did it. It's a gift. You accept the gift or you don't accept the gift. It's not going to be a result of any works that you do, because you're going to probably boast about that, like notorious things. I deserve this heaven. Well, if you want to get to heaven on your own merit, just be perfect. Oh, too late. You're not. And after your salvation, after your acceptance of this Christ, then verse 10 comes into play, which we'll talk about in a moment. But folks, if you're out there in the sound of my voice and you have not accepted this Christ, the Christ, Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, if you have not accepted him for the pardoning of your sin, then your sin's going to have to be dealt with on your own, and you will pay for that with a Christless eternity. when you take your last breath. You're in that position. You're in a position right now to make the decision to accept Christ, to understand that that's what the Word says. That's what God's Word said about the situation. So accept Christ. It's my hue and cry to you. Accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's not on the family system, the buddy system. You know, like the airlines, you get buddy passes. You can't get a buddy pass from your grandma because she was a good Christian, your grandpa, uncle, family member. This is a you work out your own salvation. You should do that with fear and trembling for those of you that's claiming Christ to make sure that you are in the faith. But those of you who have never accepted Christ, those of you who have heard about it multiplicity of times and have rejected Christ, well, you're heading for a crisis eternity. You are going to be dealing with, and you're saved from, the wrath of God. So that's a weird thing to me that here God, who's going to judge the situation, came down in the person of his son. As we talk about the God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But the God-man Jesus died on the cross. This is the program that it is, whereby you can be saved by that faith. I'm sorry, through that faith, by the grace that God gave you, which is a gift. Accept it now. Accept him as your Lord and your Savior. Not just your Savior alone. It's Lord and Savior. Because the Lord part comes in with verse 10 in Ephesians 2, where it says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works." That's the Lord part. You got a Lord at your job to give you a check every 15th or 30th or however you get paid at your job. That's your Lord there. You seem like you don't have too big of a problem with lords and masters over you, as it were, especially being Black History Month. You may not like that word master, but guess what? That's what the situation is when you go to your job. For we are his workmanship after the salvation is settled by the grace and the faith. Not your works, no boasting on your part, but here's what you do, and here's how you're rewarded. Verse 10, Ephesians 2 says, "For we are his workmanship, again created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them." So, pray to the Lord about what you should be doing. We talked about that earlier. Pray to the Lord about giving you the desire of your heart, not what may be there that you want to do, been on your mind for years, but ask God. I challenge you to ask God to put something on your heart that he would have you to do, that he obviously have already prepared for this work for you to do beforehand, that you would walk in it. So you might do that, and I'm going to share with you what I did and why I believe that God has called me to do something that I would never dream I'll be doing. In the area of golf, it's taking on a life of its own. But accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. Trust him for your eternal life. You can do that now. And do that before your last breath. And let me say this. And I don't think Professor would mind, because I just trust that, well, I don't trust. I'm going to ask that the listening audience, those that care anything about our ministry and care about the dear professor who's been ministering to you all for 25 plus years in this format. Professor's father, who we talked about last week, went home to be with the Lord on Monday. We talked about that among our teammates, and I want you to be in prayer for the professor's family. That young man, I'll say young man because he's a few years younger than me. I know he's, you know, we're not young. We're in our 60s. But Professor has been through some things. The Lord has allowed him to go through some things that I have not even come close to experience on a personal basis, as far as, the death of my father, my mother, experienced that. But I never experienced the murder of a child. Oldest child, youngest child, they're all still alive. 11 grandchildren, 1 great grand. And here, Professor dedicated his life to coming to share with you for all these years, answering your questions so that you might be able to grow in your most holy faith. Not to win an argument out there because of the apologetic answer you got in you, Mr. Smarty Pants or Miss Smarty Pants, but come to you in humbleness and sincerity. At least in this ministry, man has not received a paycheck. And I'm looking into ways that we can bless him and everybody else that's worked in this ministry, and I got a few other people that work in the ministry, and we did some calculations that if they just got minimum wages, one guy dealing with our teen, I'm rambling here because my heart is just bleeding for people who I know has been dedicated to ministries whereby money is not an issue for them. Well, it's an issue that they have to survive and live, but just imagine if we could just pay my dear buddy Danny, who takes care of the teens, teaching teenagers and young adults how to do journalism, how to do interviews. We've done the Police Olympics. We had access to the White House a couple of years ago during one of the presidential elections. Things happened where we couldn't go with Rodney Allen Rippey, Danny Pettigrew, and Danny and I. I asked him to do this for me, a calculation. Man, if we would have paid you just minimum wages, I want to know, I think it was over 15 years we put in there, 15 or 20 years, something like that. And I said, well, what is the amount that we can go back? He's getting ready to get that age whereby Social Security kicks in and all that stuff. So we got some older cats in the ministry now that I want to see if anybody knows in particular, are we going to be going to, Social Security office and find out how much money could we back pay if we had it to give to them to enhance their retirement? I mean, that's just the way my mind works. And you kind of see that. You will see that on how I'm going to be dealing with the Fulton 54 Golf's Perfect Score, raising money for various nonprofits. Millions of nonprofits is what the Lord gave me in my mind to do. But the figure that Danny came back with me with, it was right around $385,000. Now, imagine if we could bless the professor with the same type of thing for the 25-plus years, or Brian before he passed away, with that we can go back. And, I mean, even myself, even though I wouldn't take it because I have a deal with the Lord, and I'll tell you about that in a second, but imagine going back because it's strategic. And Bobby was just talking about how you strategically handle what God has given you, time, talent, and treasure. So Professor Craig, Brian, Eric, Danny, Rodney, Alan Rippey, all those guys have done things in Living by the Word ministries and various ministries whereby didn't pay him a dime. Sort of like deferred, volunteered, if we ever get it, we'd love to bless you type of thing. So folks, if you're out there listening and you got the Lord's money, send it on to us. That'd be a wonderful way to bless some hearts, to be able to pay a deferred comp to everybody. Deferred compensation, as it were. And I'm going to see how it does from the standpoint of being smart to do that. And would that increase when the guys get that 65 years old and older retirement? Would that help their retirement in the area of Social Security. Let me stop. Let me not be mean. It's a question. I'm going to find out because we can. Because I also found out when somebody corrected me years ago, I used to tell you folks that you can give up to 50% of your income away. And there's no question from the IRS. You just give it to the ministry, get your receipt, and you can give up to 50% of your income. Legally. Yes, that's what it is. Legally. And be blessed by paying less taxes if you can live on 50% of your income. Some of you can. Some of you got so much money that you can live on 10% of your income. You got the Lord's money. You claim to be a Christian. Are you giving him a tip? Are you giving the Lord a tip? Now, I know somebody's out there probably saying, easy, you sure talking about money now. Craig ain't there. You done lost your mind. You're just talking about money, 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 money. No, I'm talking about stewardship. I'm talking about kingdom business. Because here's the deal with me if you're talking about money, 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 money. When I became a Christian and I had a nice job taking care of my family, I was a single father where I had to take care of, a child and, feed them, do all those things that, two parents would do. And I asked the Lord this one thing. Lord, if you take care of my basic needs, which he's already doing through the job, but But I'm talking about as far as spending countless hours involved with ministries, because I came into Christ, was excited about it, came out the science of mind, and I saw the church was running. I saw all the things that, as far as I'm concerned, the church opens up itself to all kind of dumb stuff. And I'm going to read some of the stuff in 1 Corinthians 5 and the various places that, you know, we do dumb stuff in the church, as far as I'm concerned. And if I apologize if that be saying dumb stuff in the church offends anybody, because I'm not meaning to be offensive, which we talked about earlier. But I've seen people do dumb stuff. We have Bobby on there talking about how we handle our money. So we have time, talent, and treasure. We're going to give an account to the Lord about how we are being a steward. Let me suggest to you that there is no sacred cow in what God has given to you, believer. Whether you have an abundance of money, we all have the same time, 24/7. We have various things we have to do. We have various talents. And I believe that if each and every person under the sound of my voice that is a believer in Jesus Christ and has accepted him as their Lord and Savior, you have an obligation to build the kingdom of God up. And you do that through your time, your talent, and your treasure. And if you are tipping God on the back end of whatever he does or puts in your care, on the back end, that's not the God I serve. That's not how God operates. Consider first fruit. Consider giving to the Lord first. You don't go in a restaurant and tip until after you get the service. But God is already given to you all that you have. Think about all the breath that you have. Think about all that you have is God's, and you're a steward. Don't tip him like you in some restaurant, whether it's fancy or not. Think about God in your relationship with him as generous giving, first fruit, off the top. How much is that? I'm not concerned about that. I'm concerned with your heart attitude. Don't be like the guy whose wife and him went to church. He don't usually go to church with her, and he went to church this time, and he was, looking to give some money in the church, and he couldn't find. All he had was a $50 bill, so he wound up putting that in there, and he said, you know what, I'll just let it slide. I'm not here that often. And after the service, him and his wife was talking about it, and she said, I noticed that during the offering, you put a $50 bill in there. And he said, yeah, well, I really meant to put in $5, but that's all I had. I just figured, you know what, hey, why not? I'm not here that often anyway. And so his wife said, well, you know, praise the Lord, you gave the $50. And he said, and she said, but you're only going to get credit for $5 because that's what your heart intent was. So what are you doing with your heart intent on God's kingdom? Not only with your time, your talent, and your treasure, but the attitude about it, the intent of the heart, not just lip service and showing off and letting your right hand know what your left hand is doing as far as giving is concerned financially. Time-wise, are you spending time with the Lord devotionally? All these things God knows. And I know, matter of fact, Pastor Cooper was talking about how people were talking about God knows my heart. Yeah, that's the issue. He really knows your heart. And the question is, do you really understand your heart? Do you understand the heart man by himself, how desperately wicked it is? Who can trust it? Don't trust your heart unless you take those intents of your heart and apply them to the word of God. And so, like the Bible tells us, to grab every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. So if you consider what it is that you're going to do, how you're going to do it, why you're going to do it, consider what God says about it. Matter of fact, I'm looking at a Bible program like the Blue Letter Bible right in front of me. There are so many different Bible programs that you can use that you can put in a word and put in your situation and a partial of the word, and it pops up all the scriptures that talk about that issue. All kind of different commentaries and everything. We are the information highway of all things, and at the speed of light. Not like it was back in the day where you had a candle and you had to read and actually go through the scriptures, and maybe your eyes were getting dim and it was difficult. You had to spend hours and people did that. Maybe we have too many distractions. I don't know. No, I do know. Actually, we do have too many distractions. But with those distractions, we also have the ability and the technology whereby we can gain so much knowledge. Matter of fact, even on our website, actually on our Facebook page, we post a daily Bible reading, which I post daily. I personally post it. And I ask people to read the Bible, read it chronologically. It's a great way to read it because it kind of keeps things in order for you so you can see everything that's happening. And then I even suggest that you read it and read along with an audio Bible where you can hear it in your ear because you're using all the ear gates. And because of the way my brain works, I actually have a speed that I listen to the Word of God is 1.7. Now, that's almost double the speed of normal, so that means that that's how my brain works. You figure out how your brain works. Well, you may have to slow it down so you can get it or speed it up. But whatever way you do it, you need to be reading His Word. Living by the Word, Bible Information Brokers. Living by the Word, Bible Information Brokers. So if you read His Word and you can live by His Word and you can broker the information that you get from the Word to your world to make it a better place for the people that are around you. What a concept. What a concept. So, folks, let me do this. I said I was going to read to you some scripture about what we were talking about earlier. Conflict resolution. Let me just read the scripture from Matthew 18 right quick. I want to read it because I want you to have it in your head so that you can take it. If I don't say anything else in life, I want to tell you this, that if a brother sins against you, go. Tell him his fault between you and him alone. Remember I talked about that person that heard me on the air? To you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother or sister. But if he doesn't listen, then watch this. Go get a podcast and just blast all over. No, I'm sorry. But if he doesn't listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. Coming out of the law field, being trained in law enforcement, everything, and knowing how the court system work and knowing how the judicial system work, this is some of the things I want to talk to Craig about today. And Lord willing, whenever we get a chance to come back again on this broadcast, I'm going to bring up topics like this on the evidential ways that, I'm sorry, the way evidence comes into play. And this is one of the major things that can happen. No one person constitutionally can have your word against another one's and that person's word against yours, and you are found guilty in a capital offense. Now, all the other extenuating circumstances and evidence around that situation, but if one person's word against another one's, who's telling the truth one way or the other without some extra corroborating evidences? But anyway, getting back to the scripture here. So, in Matthew 18, matter of fact, the verses 15 on down to about 20. I'll start over again. It says, if a brother sins against you, you go and tell him. Tell him his fault. Yeah, let him know. Between you and him alone. And if he listens, then you want him. Case over, case closed. You don't need to tell your grandma, your mama, nobody else. Nobody else's business. It's done deal. You've gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two other people. Take two people with you that every charge, that everything that's offensive to you, everything that was that you believe is a sin against you, may be established. That's the key word, by the evidence of two or three witnesses. Because when you take some, if I offend someone or I sinned against someone, and then you take them and you come to me and we can't work it out, and then I don't think I did you any wrong. And then the two or three witnesses that you bring determine in establishing what is the situation, find out that you're actually wrong. That's what that two or three witnesses is for, to establish by the evidence of two or three witnesses, consistent with what the Lord put in place, even back into the law of Moses. If he refuses to listen to them, assuming that the offense, the sin that I did against you, I'm just keeping me against you, was solid. And if I refuse to listen to them, then and only then do you tell it to the church. You get the whole body of Christ involved. But that's a process. And if he refuses then to even listen to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile. And we were talking about taxes earlier, and a tax collector. Because then it gets into the whole authority thing. It says, truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among you. Now, we can get into all the nuances of that, but the bottom line is basically you're getting that USDA stamp of approval, that when you go through the process properly the way God gave it to us, when we have offenses and conflicts among each other and you do it God's way, it's approved because that's the way God gave it to us. It's really a kind of a simple ABC process, but why is it so difficult to do? That is one of the major, I mean, I don't even want the word. I had some kind of word. I was thinking my mama used to say, that's the mucky muck that never gets cleaned up. That happens in the church. Let me give you an example of how things can happen in the church. And then we're going to close with this. I can't believe my time is up. I can't believe I sit up here and talk for this many hours without my team. Well, folks, I don't want this to happen no more. And you pray that it doesn't. But I'm going to close with 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and chapter 6. I know the story, but I want to read it because most people don't believe this was in the Bible. When I told them about it, I was talking to some of my golfing buddies about it who was claiming that they were raised in the church but not acting like they were. And so I suggested to them that the Bible talks about a lot of subjects, sexual issues and all kind of stuff. And when I told them this story about this guy, what he was doing with his father's wife, they couldn't believe it. And I said, you guys read the Bible and you can't believe it. Well, here's what it says. The setup was this. In chapter 5, it was a bottom line with a situation where a guy was having sexual intercourse with his father's wife. So apparently it wasn't his mother. It was his father's wife. And that particular sin, the malfeasance, was such that even Paul was making allusion to, and not even the Gentiles, not even the pagans do this. They know it's wrong. They know it's wrong. And here it is. Let me just read it. It says, it is actually reported in 1 Corinthians 5:1. It says, it is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you and of a kind that is not tolerated even among pagans, for man has his father's wife, and you are arrogant. Ought you not rather to mourn? Let him who has done this be removed from among you. Go through the process, solidify the fact that the stuff is true, and for the lack of a better term, put his butt out. And it says, for this reason, for though absent in the body, I am present, this is Paul speaking, in spirit. And as if present, I have already pronounced judgment on this cat. On the one who does such a thing. And he says, when you are assembled in the name of the Lord Jesus, and my spirit is present with the power of our Lord Jesus, you are to deliver this man to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, so that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. Now, later on, you see a couple of verses later in 2 Corinthians, this guy repented and all that kind of stuff, and they wouldn't even let him come back in the church, which is another issue. But listen, folks, we're coming to the close of the broadcast. You got the information about how you can support us financially, prayerfully. We need your prayer. You know, the website, Bible Info Brokers, you can go there and check it out. I suggest that if you're going to send us anything financially, you could do it by Zelle and save those fees. And I'm going to ask that in closing that you remember Bonnie. Bonnie sent on Facebook, and those of you that have Facebook, you see what she already wrote, but it says, can you please pray for the family of Brooks Richards, 39-year-old mother of two small children, and she had a heart attack and had to undergo emergency quadruple stents. Please put the family in your prayer of Brooke Richards for Bonnie's dear friend. And I appreciate Bonnie when she sends information that's so precious. And please, 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 listening audience, you're about to hear the music in a moment that will take us out of this broadcast. I want you to remember the professor, the one who so diligently has come to you so many years teaching you. Remember his family, his 96-year-old, I believe his birthday was coming up, 96-year-old father passed away Monday. And I know he's dealing with that. And he was in the Arizona area. So keep Professor Hawkins in your prayers, PCH, and everyone else in this ministry, Eric, myself, all the engineers and people that help us with this, our wives, our family members. Take an opportunity to specifically mention our names, mention the ministry in your prayers, because not without those prayers God can't operate, but because he gives you the privilege and opportunity to pray for those, especially those that's requesting it, which we are doing, which I am doing on behalf of the whole team. And if the Lord allows us grace and breath in our body to come back and do this again, then we'll come back and do this again. As many weeks, months, years, decades that the Lord gives us, quarter of a century doing this, coming to you. Thanks for listening. And if the Lord willing, we'll be back next week. My name is Darryl Easy D. Fulton. I happen to be Mama Grace and Big Daddy's baby boy. And the whole team says thank you. And if we do come back and see you next week, then we'll do more of Bible Information Brokers. Prayerfully, we can get back on the program we normally have for questions and answers so that you may be able to grow in your most holy faith. Don't forget, there's a God in heaven that loves you. Jesus is the answer for your eternal destiny. God bless you. See you next week, Lord willing.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.